The other ones.
Well, what didn't you say? Another
second. You could go to 2 Peter 2:20-22.
Well, wasn't it toward the end of Acts? You said there was a verse about him, or was it?
When I just gave you an example in Acts chapter 8, verses 13 through.
Oh, I thought there was another part in Acts.
There are other things. But let's look at 2 Peter 2:20-22. Quote, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome."
I'm sorry, 2 Peter
2:20-22. Okay.
"For if after they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they were again entangled therein, overcome."
The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. There you go. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." And he talks about a dog returning to his own vomit.
Right.
If that doesn't show you that people who are believers can fall away and lose salvation, I don't know what.
You know why I know that's not for me?
Because you want to be able...
No. Hebrews Revelation is what's going to happen in the ages to come during the 70th week of Daniel. It's known as the tribulational period, although that's not really a correct term. And Peter is not my apostle. It's part of the message to Israel. And like I said, while all of...
Well, no, I'm asking you about this verse here.
Well, so I am. I'm just telling you.
You reject it.
No, I believe it's God's word and it's true.
Okay, if it's true, then that proves it.
It's true for Israel. I'm not Israel.
Oh, man.
That's where we differ.
Well,
you're Israel.
That tells you that you're not of the true faith. Hey, you want Paul? Do you want an example from Paul? Hebrews 6:4-6. "For it is impossible..."
Paul didn't write Hebrews.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
He did. So you don't accept Hebrews either?
It's not written to the church, the body of Christ.
Okay, but regardless of who you believe wrote it, do you accept it?
I believe it's God's perfect word.
Okay. So what does it matter then if he didn't write it? If you believe it's God's word and it's true and it's binding, what does it matter?
Because Romans 15:4 says I can learn from all the Bible. And by the way, Romans 15 is a really good verse there. And it says... 15:8.
So basically, these verses,
Jesus
which
Christ was minister of the circumcision.
These verses, okay,
yeah,
which prove that man can lose his justification. They don't mean anything to you.
Israel, in the tribulational period, can lose their salvation. So that's what that is.
How about Hebrews 10:26, where he says, "For if we sin willfully, we," okay, the Christian. "If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation."
That's what Israel's going to face in the tribulation.
No, he says we, meaning the believer.
Yeah, but we is not you and I, the body of Christ.
Well, you're not of the body of Christ. But
yes, I am.
No, you're not. You believe Paul and Jesus preached two different gospels, isn't that correct?
They preached two different gospels, that's correct. What do you think gave Paul his message?
Paul got his message from Jesus and the apostles. Right.
He got it from the risen Christ.
From Jesus. He was preaching the same gospel.
Right, but he got it from the risen Christ. See, that the 12 got theirs from the earthly Christ.
No. Okay, the 12 met with Jesus after his resurrection. The Holy Ghost led them into all truth. Jesus, after his resurrection in John 21:15-17, appointed Peter to shepherd all of his sheep.
Yeah, but we are not Israel. That is a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to Israel. You know why I know that? Matthew 10:5-6. It's really pretty clear. Christ told the 12, "Don't go to Gentiles, or to any city of Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." And when a Gentile woman went up to Christ, and she had a daughter vexed with a devil, he didn't answer a word until she placed herself under the children of Israel as a dog.
Well,
and Christ called her a dog.
What I'm saying to you is you're very spiritually deluded, I have to say. But I would say this, that was there a Bible, the book of the Bible that you do accept? You don't accept Hebrews. You don't accept 2 Peter. You don't accept...
All the Bible's for me, but it's not all written to me. As far as, like...
So, according to you, the Jews can, Jewish converts who accept Jesus
today
can lose their salvation through sin.
No, not today, no.
If they
believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried and risen the third day, and they're saved.
Well, I just quoted verses which contradict that.
Now, you see, Paul, who was a Jew and a Gentile, he was given the message of reconciliation for the church, the body of Christ. When I take this word and give it to a Jewish person today, and they believe it, they're saved.
So if I could prove to you, for instance, from the book of Romans, that man can like lose his justification, would you accept it?
Go ahead.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Well, if you can prove that a person could lose their salvation in the dispensation of grace...
Well, I'm asking you, if I could prove it from the book of Romans, would that demonstrate it to you?
Sure, but I don't think you're going to. I mean, you can,
okay.
You can go ahead.
Romans chapter 11, 20-22. St. Paul speaking of Jews, saying, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off.
Yeah, I've read that.
Clearly proving that these believers could be cut off, just like the Jews were, destroying the idea of justification by or eternal security. And he's saying you must continue in goodness, not just faith, thus refuting faith alone as well.
Well, this whole chapter in Romans, which talks about the Jewish person in the future, and he says here, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about Israel. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, provoked in the jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the rich of the world, and the rich of the Gentiles, much more their fullness. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, as much as I am positive Gentiles, he magnifies his office, and then goes on talking about the how Israel...
Yeah, I don't need you to read me the chapter. I just asked you how you could not see from that verse that your belief is not correct.
If a person...
You got to be honest here.
Well, that's what it looks like.
That's what it says.
Yeah, it's a...
So you would agree that that should tell you that your position is wrong?
No, it's because Ephesians 1 tells me I'm forgiven all sins.
Ephesians 1.
Yeah.
Well, before I get to that...
Yeah.
Wouldn't you consider, in light of these verses, I just quoted 2 Peter, I quoted Hebrews, I'm quoting Romans, I made reference to 1 Corinthians, which says mortal sinners are excluded from heaven. Shouldn't that maybe say, well, maybe I'm misinterpreting this verse in Ephesians?
Okay, let's say that if you were right, would Christ have to go back on the cross for me to have total forgiveness?
No, because as blood and water poured out from his side... Okay, the benefits of his death are poured out in the sacraments of his church. Okay, his redemption was an appeasement. It basically turned God's favor back toward man. But man, in order to individually get the benefit of that redemption, had to be incorporated into his church and accept his faith first and foremost, which means submitting to baptism and obeying his commandments and following him.
Well, in Matthew, when Christ was talking to the workers of iniquity, and he was telling them they were hypocrites, the elders and leaders, basically he talks about how, let me see here, look at that verse, how they went by the traditions of their fathers.
Well, if you're talking about where Jesus condemns the Pharisees for following the traditions of men, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's nothing to do with what we're talking about. He's talking about...
You're talking about a religion, which, by the way, the word religion means return to corruption of bondage. You're talking about the Catholic religion, which is man's attempt to reach God. That's what religion is.
No, it's the very church, the one church Christ set up upon Peter. Okay.
Yeah.
He gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
The only problem is, though, Peter is not the apostle of the Gentiles who gave me the gospel by which I'm saved today. And he was an Israelite under the law.
No.
Paul, who was a Jew and Gentile.
That's why Paul actually learned from Peter when he first converted, spent time there. And that's why when there was a dispute about whether the Gentile converts had to undergo circumcision, etc., they took it to the leaders of the church at Jerusalem, and Peter presided in Acts 15.
The reason I know he didn't learn from Peter is because of Galatians 2:6. It says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me, God accept no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. He didn't learn from Peter. It said that, that these people that he's talking about who are Peter, James, and John, he didn't learn anything from them. They didn't teach him anything new. I mean, he says right there, added nothing to me. Who should be seeing someone in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and it goes on. I mean, Paul says he was given the gospel of the uncircumcision, committed to him.
Right. He's saying that his main field of work was converting Gentiles. That's all he's saying. Okay, and you're drastically misunderstanding that. Okay, you just like Peter said in 2 Peter 3:15, you're twisting the scriptures to your own destruction. And see, I just quoted, this is where people who don't value truth divert, that I proved to you from Romans, from Hebrews, from 2 Peter... Okay, and more, that believers can lose.
Today, Jew and Gentile doesn't matter.
Before you get to that.
Okay, sure.
You're diverting from Romans chapter 11.
I'm giving you the verses in Scripture that...
It says believers shall be cut off unless they continue in goodness. How do you not change your position in light of that?
Because of verses like Galatians 2:13.
No, it's because of bad will. It's because of bad will.
No. Yep. See, when Paul was given revelation, just like all men of God, it was progressive. And some of the things that happened in the beginning of his life, he didn't have toward the end. And I'll give you an example. In Acts 19, they brought cloths to Paul, laid him on his body, and then they laid him on people, and people were healed.
Right, yeah, that's an example of the Catholic teaching on the miraculous relics.
The reason why that all went away, when he told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake, he didn't have the healing powers anymore, because that...
Now, Jesus said that those who come after me will even do greater works, and actually throughout the history of the church, this is how the gospel, by the way, became propagated and got preached throughout the whole world with great success, was because God gave miraculous powers to his Catholic saints and missionaries.
Right.
It was Catholic saints who brought the gospel all over the world.
Yeah, right. Paul's early ministry was...
But you said that Paul's gospel was basically, at the beginning, different from what it was at the end?
Well, some of the doctrinal principles that was given to Paul in the beginning of his ministry slowly changed.
Not substantial. Nothing substantial because...
Well, yeah, I chose it then.
That's why he says in Galatians 1:8, if anyone preach to you a gospel besides that which you have received, let him be anathema.
Right. That gospel which you...
So he's saying that you've received the gospel...
Yeah, which gospel was that you received from Paul?
There's only one. There's only one gospel.
So the everlasting gospel and revelation, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace.
It's all one.
Those are all one?
Yep.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay. Matthew 4:23, where it talks about the gospel kingdom. Christ was able to preach all that came to him, or heal all that came to him.
Paul, so what? That. Jesus was God. Do you believe that?
That was the gospel that he was preaching, in which healing and water baptism were a part of it.
No, he's preaching the gospel, and he also he chose to heal people at that time. I mean, you have to think about what you're saying
here. It's part of that gospel of the kingdom, because they're...
No, that doesn't mean that every single person who preaches the gospel of the kingdom necessarily would have the same exact healing powers that Jesus would have in that instance.
The Sermon on the Mount, for example.
Oh,
where
boy.
He says, Matthew 5:41.
But, I mean, it's interesting how you just... I had answered your questions, but you just totally dismiss the points that I've made, which completely refute what you're saying.
And what was that?
Romans 11 and other passages, where it says that they would be, the believers, cut off unless they continued in goodness. You have no answer for that. You don't even have an attempted perversion, because there is no answer. It's just a matter of whether you accept the Bible or not. And the answer is, you don't.
Chapter 11 is probably about the hardest chapter in all of Paul's letters. Because
no, actually, the hardest ones are the ones that you and other Protestants commonly misunderstand.
No, because
Romans 3 and 4 and following, okay, where it talks about the works of the law, that's clearly referring to the works of the old law.
Well, obviously, you don't understand what Paul said in Ephesians 2.
Oh,
nine.
We can talk about that.
Ephesians 3:9, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, you know what that's referring to? Water baptism. And I can prove that easily. It's referring to, if you line that up side by side, that verse, Ephesians 2:8 through 9, with Titus 3:5, you'll see this.
I know what you're talking about.
And I'll read them here both, so you can see.
Not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to mercy saved us by the washing of generation.
Yeah, here it is. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The two are extremely similar. Both verses mention... Well, let me answer your question, objection. Both verses mention, not by works, being saved, and not of yourselves. Okay, basically say that. Which we have done, not of yourselves, in Ephesians 2. And Titus 3:5 says... How is this done? By the washing of regeneration. Even Martin Luther and John Calvin admitted, Protestant heretics who believe like you do in a lot of ways.
I'm not a Calvinist.
But they agree with you on justification by faith alone, okay? And
Calvinists are tulip growers, okay?
And they admitted, even though they denied all of the implications of it, they admitted that Titus 3:5 has to do with water baptism. Okay, it clearly does. It talks about,
you know why I know?
By the washing of regeneration. Okay?
I can prove it by what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not
right.
Not with wisdom words, but CrossFit.
That doesn't prove it at all. That just says that his main work day to day was preaching, not administering baptisms. Doesn't mean he didn't ever administer baptisms.
Well, he did in the beginning.
And, he's not saying that you shouldn't be baptized.
Well, you never see it anywhere else in the Word where he tells you.
No, this verse is clearly referring to water baptism. And
regeneration.
Both Ephesians 2, 8 and Titus 3, let me finish, are referring to the same thing. Okay? And in Ephesians 2, water baptism is called faith. Because in Galatians chapter 3, 26 to 27, it says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say, for as many of you have been baptized, have put on Christ.
Yeah, he's talking about spiritual.
That's how you enter the faith. Now he's talking about water baptism.
No, 1 Corinthians 12:13 is what he's talking about.
No, and that's why, by the way, it's further proven by 1 Peter 3.
For by one
1 Peter 3, 20-21 says, baptism saves you. Okay, so you can see...
This is what you're getting confused here, though.
I'm not confused.
Peter's not speaking to me in the dispensation of grace. You ever heard of the dispensation of grace? Ephesians 3:2. You ever heard of that?
Yes.
We're living in the dispensation of grace. We're not living under the law. my point is that Peter can say all the things he does for Israel, but he's not speaking specifically to me. There may be things in his word that I can learn about in, for the future, and what Israel, when they're on the earth in a kingdom, will be going through. Because when I die, and I'm caught, if I'm caught up in a rapture, I'll say, if I'm caught up before I die in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm going to be in heaven. Because the
no, you're not, actually.
You know why?
You're not going to be in hell.
It already told me that I'm...
If you continue in your path, you won't be. You'll definitely be in hell. That's what I'm telling you, Jerry. That because you are a heretic.
Okay.
Dispensation of grace just means the gospel of grace, which is the same gospel. That's why John 1:17 says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, after the resurrection, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them. Baptizing them. Yes, I've read Ephesians. I've read the whole Bible.
Okay, it says in Ephesians 2, 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Peter and Paul's two different ministries.
So basically, let's just make this clear.
Well,
that,
look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. The Gentiles were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant's promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
What's your point?
My point is that in time past, when Peter was on the earth...
No, he's not talking about that.
That's what that's talking about right there.
No, he's talking about people who were completely without God.
In time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were Gentile dogs, by the way,
he's just saying that they lived completely godless and they were without the Savior.
No, see, Christ even called the Gentile woman a dog.
Oh, boy.
Matthew 15, check it out.
I already quoted 2 Peter, speaking of dogs, 2 Peter 2, 20-22, I already quoted, which says that a believer, like a dog returning to his vomit, can fall from the way of salvation. Okay, and you dismiss that because you're not a Bible-believing Christian?
No, because Peter is
at all
to Israel.
So you reject that verse. You have to. You'd have to say that verse is false. You'd have to say that verse preaches a false gospel and it should be excised from the Bible. You'd have to say that.
No. See,
yes,
I've got a completed version.
And see, that's where your inconsistency displays your dishonesty.
Genesis, Revelation, in my Bible...
I just quoted Hebrews. You rejected that. I quoted Romans 11. You ignored that. I just quoted 2 Peter 2. You're criticizing that. Okay? And I've quoted the parables of Jesus, which you dismiss as irrelevant.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount.
But wait a second. You already said, before you do that, you've already said, have you not, that the parables of Jesus preach a different gospel than the one that's applicable today?
That's right. But I'm going to show you something in Matthew 5 that you don't know. I'm going to quote a verse, and I'm going to ask...
Do you call yourself a Christian?
Yeah, because I'm saved by the finished work of Christ.
But Christ didn't understand the gospel, according to you.
Christ didn't preach the gospel of grace when he was on earth. He gave it as a...
Well, what was his preaching for, according to you?
I'm sorry?
What was the point of his preaching?
He tells you in Matthew 10:6. He went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
But still, what were the what was the purpose of his? Who were his parables for? In which he said that if something causes you to fall, basically, if you don't cut off your hand, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, lest you should be damned.
God the Father sent the prophets in the Old Testament. Israel didn't listen. He sends God the Son in the New Testament. And they rejected that. Then they rejected Stephen in Acts 7.
Yeah, I don't need the whole history of it. I'm asking you a simple question.
That's what you're not realizing. God owned the kingdom with Israel.
I'm asking you, what were those parables for? Well, who were they intended for?
That's what I'm telling you. They're for Israel.
But you've already said that even the members of the Old Testament Israel who were incorporated into the gospel... You would say that once they believe, they can't lose their salvation either, right?
I didn't say that about Israel. They had to endure...
A Jew who was converted, okay? In the time of Peter and Paul. After the resurrection.
Okay.
Could, and as soon as he believes, could he, after that point, lose his salvation?
No. Not if he believes the gospel was given.
Okay, then who are these parables where Jesus is clearly talking about people through their sins could lose their salvation? Who were they intended for?
Israel. Because they had to endure to the end.
No, he's talking about accepting him.
Right. When he was in the New Testament and he comes in Matthew, and that there's the sign of God right in front of them. Israel didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe he was the Messiah, right?
What you're saying is so ridiculous. It's amazing, actually, that you're saying that the preaching of Jesus in the gospel is a different gospel than the Christian gospel. Isn't that a fair assessment of what you're saying?
It's different than the gospel of grace.
Yeah, and that's, this is the end result. This is the end result.
You know what? You know why your problem, the reason why you don't understand what I'm saying is because you don't rightly divide the word of truth.
No, I understand what you're saying very well.
Well, when you rightly divide the word of truth, it's 2 Timothy 2:15.
Divide the word of truth.
2 Timothy 2:15.
That is exactly what you're doing. You're saying that 2 Peter is false.
Yeah, I'm
okay. Hebrews 6:4-6.
No, I'm not saying it's false. It's for Israel. Hello?
How can the word of God,
Israel and the body of Christ?
No, but you don't even believe that Israel. Okay.
Okay.
Let me ask you: was the author of Hebrews a Christian?
It was. God wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know who humanly did it.
But do you believe that the one who humanly did it was a Christian?
Was it part of Israel?
What's that?
They were an Israelite.
So basically, every verse that I quote which proves that men can lose their salvation, you say, is not applicable to Christians.
All right, let me break it down really simple for you. Genesis, Malachi is ministerial of Israel under the law. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to Israel only. Acts is a transitional book going from the gospel of kingdom to the gospel of grace, in which we have Paul, who in Romans to Philemon, is given the instructions for the church body of Christ. Hebrews for Revelation, what's going to happen in the age to come.
Okay, so you include Romans in the gospel of grace, according to you. And I already quoted Romans, which says believers can lose their salvation.
No, because that's that goodness there. In order to get into that, that's one part of Romans.
You can't explain it away.
Well, that's not an easy
choice. You just reject it. Okay,
no,
just face the fact.
Reject it because
you do.
Before that even, he says, if you think that someone can lose it, he says in Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth
yeah.
in him that justified in God, his faith is counted as righteousness.
That's referring, okay, to the works of the law, which are the concept brought, which is a concept brought up in Romans 3, and as Galatians chapter 2:14-16 makes exceedingly clear, the works of the law refers to the Old Testament works. He's telling those people that no one has to submit, okay, to the works of the old law, such as circumcision, to be saved.
Tell me something in the book of Acts. Why did everyone want to kill Paul when he was preaching a different gospel? There was 40 men that wanted to kill him, and they were going to do that until they weren't going to eat until they did, because he was preaching something totally different from them.
That's because these were Jews who rejected Christ.
No, it's because he was preaching something new.
No, it's because that they hated Christ. Just like the Jews today who try to remove every Christmas reference, okay, who try to remove Christ's name completely from the public sphere. That's all. I mean, boy, you're really,
yes.
I mean, you're really stretching. I mean, you're really grabbing and trying to twist anything you can.
There's tons of verses about how...
Yeah, I just gave you four or five verses. Would you include Ephesians as part of, quote, the gospel of grace?
Yeah, it's part of Paul.
Well, Ephesians 5:5-8, totally devastates justification by faith alone, obliterates it, destroys it.
But the Apostle Paul was saved totally.
Do you believe Paul wrote Ephesians 5?
Yeah, Ephesians 5.
Okay. Well, he says in Ephesians chapter 5:5-8, that he gives us a number of mortal sins. He says, for this you know, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, etc., who as an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's clear, that no man who does those things has any... Has any... I'll get there. For he says...
Verse 4-6.
He says that no one who does these things, commits these mortal sins, hath any inheritance, meaning any justification. Okay, starting in verse 5.
Okay, fine.
All right? So you would agree that no one who does these things, the Bible is clear, hath any justification or inheritance in the kingdom of God. He will be excluded. You would agree. That's quite clear.
Yeah, it says any inheritance.
Okay, so if a believer could commit such a sin, that would prove that a true believer could lose his justification.
Well, Corinthians did.
Well, he says, he goes on to say, let no man deceive you with vain words, such as faith alone. He goes, be ye not therefore partakers with them. See that?
Right.
He says that they could be partakers with the mortal sinners.
If you've seen a whoremonger, you don't want to be partaker with them. Right.
Yes, he's saying that be ye not therefore partakers with them.
Yeah, then verse 8 says,
and so that
you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children.
Right, he's saying that it's possible for them to return with those people who are in darkness.
You mean to tell me that you don't think you can walk out that door and commit a sin?
It's within my free will. Every man has free will. He can choose to commit sins or not. If a man commits mortal sins, such as fornication, adultery, murder, looking at pornography, okay, masturbation, giving full consent to impure thoughts, drunkenness, lying, cheating, stealing, those are examples of mortal sins. That person destroys his state of justification if he had it.
By the way, sin is sin. I mean, whether it's a lie or murder, it's still sin. This thing about mortal and...
Well, no, that's biblical. St. John talks about it. There is a sin unto death, and there is a sin not unto death. That's in the Epistle of John.
Yeah, I know.
And 1 John 5.
First John
5. He says, there is a sin unto death. I mean, you don't need to go there, because then you want to read the whole chapter.
Maybe you can read it when you get a chance. 1:9. Here's something that you might find interesting. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
If we confess our sins.
Right, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right, but what I'm saying to you is you believe that you don't have to confess.
No, I don't.
So that refutes your position.
Let's say that you believe this is for you, right? How many times can you be cleansed from all unrighteousness? I mean, if he wiped your slate clean, and you committed a sin, you confessed it. If it's already been slated clean, how can he have cleanse you again from all righteousness? If all your unrighteousness
it just says that
cleansed,
it's because
and then you go and commit another sin.
Well, see, if a person commits a sin and confesses it, by the way, John chapter 20, verse 23.
Okay.
Clearly proves that he gave the apostles the power to forgive sins. Okay.
Right, but I'm not Israel, by the way.
Yeah. You're not of the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, which is the church. That's the church.
You know why he said that? You know why in the beginning in Genesis he said he created the heaven and the earth? You know why he didn't see the universe?
This is completely irrelevant.
No, it is relevant. It is. I'm going to show you how. The reason he said he created the heaven and the earth is because all through Scripture, from Genesis all the way up to Paul, he talks about the earth and Israel and how they're going to have a kingdom on earth. And eventually, when they reject God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in Acts 7, he sets them aside, Romans 11 says. He sets aside Israel, and the kingdom is postponed, the one that was going to be on this earth. And you know what the parentheses there is? Is a dispensation of grace. In the book of Acts, when after Stephen's stoned and he was full of the Holy Spirit, God was going to judge the world. But you know what he did?
Maybe you could cut to the point here.
Yeah. Instead, we have the dispensation of grace in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
A different program.
meaningless stuff to you.
Meaning this, that the cross never would have happened if, well, check this out.
Heresy is really a terrible thing. It really.
I'm going to show you how.
Really deludes people.
I'm
going to
show you why the devil would not have crucified the Lord of Glory if he knew what.
Yeah, I don't need you to give your false opinions on that issue.
I'm going to give you a
verse. Yeah, another misunderstood verse.
You don't want to believe it? That's your problem.
No, I believe the verse. I just proved that you completely reject Romans chapter 11. You completely reject the Bible's teaching that mortal sinners lose justification. Okay, you completely reject 2 Peter 2. You completely reject the parables of Jesus.
Get out of this mortal sin.
You believe Paul.
You got other verses for you got other words for sin?
Venial sin. That's a lesser sin. Venial.
Okay.
It just refers to
traditions of man.
No, I just quoted 1 John 5. It says there's a sin unto death, and then there's a sin not unto death. And then it's proven by 1 Corinthians 6, 9,
hey,
Ephesians,
you know,
5, Galatians 5.
You know what the sin is? It's sin. It's a
sin. No, there are levels
sin
of sins.
Sin. I mean, there's all kinds of sins.
No, there are sins that are worse than others, and you know that in your heart, okay? You know that. Every person knows that. If he doesn't know that, he's a liar. He knows that to be unjustifiably angry with someone is not equivalent to murder. Okay? Anybody knows that.
Jesus
and
Christ,
if he doesn't admit that, he's just lying to himself.
Yeah, at the cross of Calvary.
No, but he didn't pay the penalty for all sin.
Penalty? What's that mean? What does that mean?
That means that he didn't. His action does not save you from the consequences of all your future sins.
Why did Christ go to the cross?
To appease the wrath of God, to make a propitiation, to redeem the world, okay? In terms of a propitiation, so that men would have the chance if they cooperated with the merit of his passion, which is dispensed through his church. That's why blood and water came out from his side.
So when, yeah, I understand. Well, so when he was on the cross, sin was paid for, right?
Right, in the propitiatory sense.
And he said, "It is finished."
Right, because without that sacrifice, because every sin that is forgiven through baptism. And the Bible clearly teaches baptismal regeneration. For instance, 2 Peter.
But Paul said he came not to preach, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So what about
that? No, he says that I came not to baptize,
right.
Meaning that he's not going to be occupied with most other people can perform the baptisms. He's preaching.
Right.
That's all it means. And so you're building a huge misunderstanding on that.
Versus preaching the gospel.
No, he's talking about the action of administering baptism, that other people can do that. He doesn't need to do that. He's not saying that you don't need to be baptized. That's why he says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's why he says for as many of you have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 to 27. Okay? So the baptismal regeneration is all throughout the gospel and the writings of St. Paul.
Find Paul telling the body of Christ to water baptize anyone.
But basically, what I'm saying is you are truly, and I hate it, I'm hesitant to even call you this because you corrupt the teaching of Paul. You're not faithful to what Paul teaches. But you're a Pauline heretic. You're not a remotely Christian. You say Paul supersedes Jesus.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You say that Paul preached a different gospel. Do you not admit that Paul preached a different gospel than Jesus?
Yes, he did. Given to
okay, Christ. Therefore the gospel of Paul supersedes the gospel of Jesus.
Romans 16:20.
Therefore, the definitive thing that you need to be saved,
you know what
is
Paul
what
Paul calls his gospel. He calls it my gospel. According
right.
to the revelation of mystery. Oh, let me see here. I don't want to misquote here. Romans 16:25, he says, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And then in the book of Acts, I'll show you how that...
Right, he said he's linking his gospel with the preaching of Christ because it's one and the same.
Acts 3,
but what I'm saying to you is like, even among the Protestants who believe in justification by faith alone, almost none of them would agree with you. They would all condemn you. So, like, you're relying, just like, not even considering the fact that what you're saying is completely unbiblical, but the fact that, like, are you that confident in your own interpretation of this? I mean, you're completely wrong.
I can read the English, man. And you're not a Greek scholar, and you can't you know, read Hebrew like they did back in the day of King James when these guys transcribed it. They could read it, write it, speak it better than we can speak English. And Book of Acts 3:21.
So what?
It says, "Whom the heaven must receive." Talking about.
Yeah, I just quoted plain English, where it says that believers will be cut off if they don't continue in goodness.
Okay, wait a minute here. Colossians chapter 2, verse
3. Yeah, another verse you misunderstand.
Oh, okay, I misunderstand it.
You misunderstand all the verses. It's a joke. It's a sick joke.
"Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after a tradition of men, after rooted in the world, and not after Christ."
So what? You don't even believe that Christ preached the correct gospel.
He did preach the gospel for that time.
Okay, so you don't believe that the...
It's not written to me, though.
This disproves you. Every verse you quote disproves you. Every verse you think proves you correct,
you know,
proves
you
wrong.
He says that
if they cheat you and not after Christ, well, you're the one that's saying that what Christ preached is no longer relevant.
According to what you believe in Matthew, okay, according to what you believe, if I were to ask you to give me $100, according to Matthew 5:42, according to that commandment, you'd have to give it to me. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow, turn not thou away.
No.
So if I asked you for $100, because I needed it for gas.
No, he's inculcating general dispositions.
No.
Okay. Yes, he is.
That's why you
believe Jesus was telling them to cut off their hands if they commit sin? Or do you really believe he was literally telling them that?
What verse was that? What, after they committed?
That's right in this area.
Oh, okay. Well, he says in Matthew 5:41, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go..."
Matthew 5:30. Okay, "If thy right hand scandalize thee, cut it off."
Cut it off.
This one demolishes justification by faith and absolutely destroys it. "If thy right hand scandalize thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is expedient for thee that one of thy members should perish rather than thy whole body be cast into hell." Before I ask you a question, let me make a point that... This verse destroys faith alone because it proves that human actions are integral to salvation.
Who's Matthew?
Let me finish.
Okay.
And okay, because if you were justified by faith alone, this wouldn't make any sense.
I know. You know why?
Okay, I know what you're going to say.
You're right.
But what I'm saying to you, so I just want to make that point. But so to refute your point about me having to give you 100.
You're right about this verse here, Matthew.
That it contradicts faith alone.
No. Yeah, it does. You know
why?
Because I know how to understand the word when I rightly divide the word of truth.
Hold on one sec.
The prayer of the just is the key to heaven. In the strength of prayer, we are able to...
If your right hand offend, you cut it off. And
right.
That's true. You know why that's so different than Paul?
Well, I know what you're going to say. I mean, it's ridiculous that they were preaching two different gospels and that Jesus' gospel is not applicable to our time.
When you understand
that is just blasphemous.
When you understand how to rightly divide the word, you don't have these problems. See, I know what's written to me, and I know what's for me.
And that's actually that verse you quoted about being cheated by philosophy and vain deceit, which is not of Christ. Well, according to you, the vain teaching is the very teaching of Christ.
What you're teaching is tradition of men.
No, what you're teaching is perverse misunderstanding of Scripture, which is blown away by the clear words of Scripture, as I just quoted Romans 11, 2 Peter 2, Hebrews 6, 4-6.
Are you a Gentile? Because Matthew 10:5 says he told the 12, then go to Gentiles. You're a Gentile, right?
No, I'm a Christian.
Are
Catholic.
You Jewish?
No.
Okay, then you're a Gentile.
Well,
that's what God.
Different people could understand different things by that term today.
The Word of God has two different classes there, where he tells them either you're a Gentile or a Jew. And if you believe Matthew is written to you, and you're a Gentile, and Christ told the 12 don't go to Gentiles, then you got confusion here.
You'd have to say Jesus was actually a... according to you, false teacher, because he said,
really.
"Well, yeah," because he said after his resurrection, according to you,
yeah,
to preach the gospel and all those things I've commanded you to every creature, and that was that was the gospel of the kingdom.
Okay, let's go to Mark.
I don't need you to read me the chapter. Okay,
okay?
I just need you to answer the question.
Well, Okay, that, I'm going to talk to you about this. Okay, go ye on the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall
be saved. Yeah, why does he say that? Because you can't be saved without baptism.
Well,
yeah.
Paul is, though.
What's that?
That the people that Paul preached to were not baptized.
But when they convert, they are baptized.
See, okay, see here in Matthew, or Mark 16:16, a person there, Israel, is saved after they're water baptized. But Paul says something quite different about salvation. Paul doesn't tell us to be water baptized.
But you're again diverting from the point.
Oh, okay, let's go down the
that Jesus says I was referring to Matthew 28.
Wait a minute, you believe 20. Mark's written you, right? It's for you today?
Sure.
Okay. So,
but Matthew is more expansive.
You want people to cast out devils and speak in new tongues and pick up serpents?
Many of the Catholic saints did that.
Yeah, but can you do this? You say that's written to you.
What I'm saying to you is, it's written to the church, and not everything in, the verse is applicable to every single person.
No, it says that they are. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe.
And they do. That doesn't mean every single person. Okay, it means that certain people, that's why Paul himself says, do all prophesy? No. Okay, do all have tongues? No. Okay, thus refuting you from Paul. Yeah, the word of God silences you again.
No,
so,
Mark, do you?
Yes, I do.
It says, if you believe, you can cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and drink any deadly thing. So if I came over there and gave you some Clorox and it's deadly, you'd be able to drink and not get hurt because you were baptized and believe.
Right? Possibly. I don't know, but I'm not going to try to find out. But the point is
it's not true.
It absolutely is true because
he was talking.
No,
to
and see that's why like people like you are like I said are almost without hope.
You know the reason
because you're so dishonest that
the reason why you don't understand what I'm saying.
No, you're just a liar in your heart. That's just how simple it is. You are of bad will. That's just a fact. And I mean, there's not much more. I mean, I proved to you from
right
the very
now.
Verses
you're
that you.
You're right now.
What's that?
You're being.
No, I'm not. I'm correctly rebuking someone who perverts the gospel to his own destruction.
But you do it in such a mean fashion, though.
No, I do it in a matter-of-fact fashion, which you need to hear.
I'm giving you verses, and you're sitting there getting all particular.
Yeah, I answered your verses, and I've given you clear proofs from the few verses you do accept. You don't accept the parables of Jesus or the epistle of Peter. You don't accept Hebrews. Okay, that's not good enough, proving that man can lose his salvation from Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10. But I quoted Romans 11
even.
The
body of Christ and Israel, what are the differences between the body of Christ and Israel?
Nothing.
Oh, you don't think there's...
At this point, no. That's why St. Paul says in Galatians 6:16 that he indicates that the church is the Israel of God. That's the new Israel.
In time past, though, we're without God and no hope.
Another pointless statement.
No, it's not pointless.
Yeah, it is.
No, Gentiles were...
We're talking about... I can prove to you it's pointless. We're talking about whether...
The difference between...
whether the church is the new Israel, okay? And you say Gentiles were without hope. So
well,
what? We know that.
Sure.
Unless they're incorporated into Christ, everybody's without hope.
No, go to Matthew 10. Matthew.
So you believe people can be saved without Christ?
People cannot be saved without the finished work of Christ. I never said that. See, you don't understand that, though. You think that anyone out there doesn't really have a chance because I'm telling you that the gospel is what Paul was given from the risen Lord. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I run into you.
Let me ask you this. Where did those epistles that you think are definitive and...
Romans to Philemon.
Right.
They came
now, what form... You know, what authority told you that these are part of Scripture?
It's in my King James Bible.
But the King James has more than that.
Yeah, it's got Genesis and Malachi.
Right. It's got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Wait a minute, okay.
By what authority do you just exclude Matthew, Mark, and Luke from today's...
2 Timothy 3:15 is my authority, the Word of God.
No, but I'm asking you that you say it's just in your King James Bible. But the King James is part of the New Testament, has much more than that. It has It has those parables in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I told you, you're not listening. 2 Timothy 2:15 is my authority.
2 Timothy 2:15 doesn't
right.
say the parables of Jesus do not apply to Christians after the resurrection.
Are you building an ark by chance?
My what?
Are you building an ark today?
Building an ark?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Why not? It's in the Bible.
Because God told him a flood was coming.
Okay, what about food you eat? Is it kosher?
No.
Is it kosher food?
No, I don't. I don't observe that.
Yeah, but it says that you should only eat certain kind of meat.
What's your point? Those are all part of the old law, which is not binding. Ceremonial laws.
Oh, so you rightly divide when that's the Old Testament. When it comes to the New Testament, you don't rightly divide, though. See,
right, because when Christ
all
came...
All the Bible's for you. And it's all written to you, right? Do you think it's all to you, specifically?
What I'm saying to you is that when Christ came, he was the fulfillment of the old law, and the old law ceased. The old law was made void, as Hebrews clearly teaches.
Okay.
And so when Christ came, he founded a church.
You have your treasures on this earth?
What's that?
Christ told the people not to have the treasures on earth.
Right. He's saying that.
You got a bank account?
Make sure. Your question doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you do. I mean, here it is. You're saying
your treasures on earth. That just like he says, cut off your hand. Okay, if it's an occasion of sin to you. Let me ask you this. Do you believe he was really telling people to cut off their hands?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes, I do.
So you believe that the people who were listening to him cut off their hands and plucked out their eyes?
Some actually...
You really believe that? That's what Jesus wanted them to do?
No, that was a spiritual...
You just said a minute ago, yeah. So now you're contradicting yourself. You're lying.
It wasn't an actual literal thing he was saying.
Why do you, the first time I ask you, say yeah? Just to be argumentative?
No, I was trying to be facetious with you, because you're not listening, that's why.
No, I am listening.
Okay. But there's...
So you just made my point. It's a spiritual message. Likewise, they lay not your treasures up here on earth.
Yeah, if you have
okay,
a bank account, you're disobedient.
No, because he's saying that you should not... accumulate, okay, that which you desire and what you work for, mainly here. Work for an eternal reward, okay?
Well, no, I mean it's...
How about apocalypse is... What part of... What gospel is apocalypse part of, according to you? The kingdom or grace or something else?
You mean Revelation?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen in the ages to come.
So, but the statements it makes about salvation... What gospel do they fit into?
The gospel of kingdom.
Oh, okay. So apocalypse, even though
it's Revelation, by the way.
Same book. Same thing. Okay.
No, it's called Revelation, not Revelations.
Well, the apocalypse comes from the Greek.
Well, I'm not a Greek scholar, and you weren't either.
Well, that's what it's called in the Catholic Bible, which is. Was long before the Protestant Bible. Again, the Protestants don't have a Bible without the Catholic Church. That's how they got it. Okay, the Catholic Church was the authority which determined which books are part of the Bible.
Oh, so God has no say in this?
God guided the Catholic Church.
God used 40 authors after 1,600 years, but the Catholics he used to...
Yeah, what I'm saying is in the early church, there were false gospels floating around. Okay, it was the church.
There was a young guy who became a father to an older man.
It was the church which determined which books are part of the Bible. Okay, your position is so illogical and so ridiculous that
you know who the Catholic Church burned, effigy, and they buried up. They dug up his bones, William Tyndale. They wanted to basically silence William Tyndale because he transcribed the New Testament.
No.
And wanted to get it to the masses. But, see, the Catholic Church, they were selling, I don't know what they call, they were telling people...
Indulgences. Yeah.
Oh, what about the Spanish Inquisition by the Catholic Church? Was that something really cool?
that was something.
That was the Catholic Church.
If you know more about it, what do you know about it? Probably almost nothing.
Not too much.
Yeah, that's right.
But I know the Catholic Church was part of it, was the reason they were the ones.
But I mean, if you don't even know what it is, or basically what it is, how can you be so convinced it's wrong?
Because I know the Catholic Church was the reason why it even existed.
But what is it, according to you?
It was through.
But what was it? What was so bad about it?
What was so bad? They murdered 68 million people.
68 million people. That
something
is
like
so
that.
Ridiculous. Okay,
well,
that is so absurd.
Exactly.
No, that's.
Maybe it was 50 million.
No, it wasn't million.
It was millions.
It was not millions. Okay, it was a very small number. Very small. Okay, I could look it up, but probably a few thousand.
No, it was millions.
Yeah, and well, it started with this for this reason, because Spain was a Christian state, okay, and there were Jews and Muslims who were a threat to the security of Spain, which was basically right in the middle of the battle with Islam, okay, because the Muslims would come up through southern Spain, and they actually had a 700-year war in Spain to take Spain back from the Muslims. And so it was like a military situation for a lot of that period. And the Spanish Inquisition was started because these false converts would basically rise to positions of authority and threaten to undermine the security of the nation, which was a Christian nation. Okay, and so they would question people and also other heretics who would... It was a Catholic state. By the way, in the Middle Ages, all... states, Protestant or Catholic, Protestant after the Revolution, which they wrongly call the Reformation, put people to death for what they would consider heresy. So you had all kinds of Catholics killed in Protestant England, okay, for violating what they consider to be the true faith. It's because they took matters of faith seriously. So it was on all sides they were putting people to death for.
The Catholic Church you go to... They got confessionals, they got crucifixes. I was kind of curious about
right.
Because you're in a monastery, right?
Right. I'm a traditional Catholic. VaticanCatholic.com, you can check out our website.
So when someone comes there, do they have to go to a confessional?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, a person who's in a state of mortal sin cannot receive communion or partake of the sacraments until he or she has gone to confession. Jesus clearly institutes confession in John chapter 20, verse 23.
And you think the wafer is his actual body, right?
I mean, that's so obvious from Scripture. You'd have to be a liar to deny. Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you, John 6.
You know what I find really hilarious is that a priest will hold up a wafer, and people, grown adults, actually believe that he beckons Jesus Christ, the Creator, to come into a piece of bread.
Well, yeah, because you blaspheme the Word of God and God Himself. The Bible says that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And that's why in that very chapter they said, eat His flesh, and many walked with Him no more. It says many walked with Him no more after that time.
By the way, Catholics chose this.
No, but like, see, this shows you how hardened of heart you are. I just quit you with a clear scripture. It doesn't even faze you, because the truth doesn't even matter to you. John 6:54. The whole chapter of John is about how his flesh is bread, and how unless you eat his flesh.
Who's he talking to there?
He's talking to his followers.
Israel.
Oh boy. No, that's why
when you realize, Paul was a Jew and Gentile, but he was the one by which the body of Christ was formed. He was the messenger, and he was the apostle of the Gentiles. And today, the body of Christ gets their instruction from the apostle of the Gentiles, who was Jew and Gentile. His whole message and his whole program was separate, different from...
Right, and that's blasphemy. That, you know, throughout, that's why he says that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
That's why one faith.
Right, that there's not one faith of Peter, there's not one faith of Paul, there's not one faith of Jesus.
No.
It's one faith, okay, and you've fallen into absolute blasphemy by your misinterpretations of Scripture, and really it's because you want to believe this.
No, so you believe you're Israel, and Paul gives...
But you would include in your false version of the gospel, which is not remotely faithful to even what Paul teaches.
1 Corinthians 15, what is that?
How about 1 Corinthians 11? Since you don't accept John 6?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 11, 1.
How about 11:29, where he says, "For he that eateth and drinketh..." He talks about it, or start in verse 26. "For as often as you shall eat this bread," okay, referring to communion, "and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread or drink of this chalice unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord."
I'll give you I'll help you on this one, because obviously you're not reading the context.
Right.
Paul's talking about the event that happened with this breaking of bread. And he's not talking for me to partake in this. He says, "For he received..." Let's see here. They were drinking in church, by the way, the Corinthians, the saved Corinthians. Says what? "Have you not houses drink and eat in? Despise ye the church of God and shame them? Have not? What shall I say to you? What shall I praise you?" There's a phrase in that. "For I've received the Lord that..."
Yeah, I don't have time for you to read me the scriptures. If you have a quick point you want to make, then fine. But, I mean, if you're just going to just quote verbatim from the whole chapter...
Yeah, I don't keep the Lord's Supper because he's not telling me to do that. He's referring to an event about the Lord.
No, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, "The chalice of benediction which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Listen, "Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ and the bread which we break?" You said he's not commanding me to partake in it. He's saying that he does it. And "the bread which we break, is it not the partaking of the body of the Lord?"
You got a bad version there, man, or something.
Bad version. It says the same thing in the King James Version.
The King James says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body."
Right.
"We're all partakers of that one bread."
There you go.
Yours sound a little different in some verses, some words.
It's the communion of the blood of Christ. It's his body and blood. Confirming exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 6, which you think is irrelevant, blasphemously.
No.
So, I mean, when we wake up, I mean, sadly, I don't think there's anything that will get through to you right now. But
Let me ask you about Ephesians 1, friend. It says there that all spiritual, we've been given all spiritual...
Ephesians what?
Ephesians 1, 3.
Oh, let me look at it.
"Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So yeah. Where are the blessings then, right in that verse? Are they in heaven or in earth?
Earth.
They're on earth in that verse?
Yeah.
It says in heaven.
That says, well, it means in heavenly things.
Heavenly places. What the verse says.
Yeah, I mean, if you went to the original languages, it can mean in heavenly things.
So how do you see a spiritual blessing on earth when the verse says all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? See, my blessings are in heaven. And when I die, that's where I'm going.
No, you're not. Right now, you're definitely going to hell, without any question. You're a blasphemer and a heretic. And you admittedly commit mortal sins, which excludes people from the kingdom of God. So you're excluded on like five fronts.
I didn't say anything to you I committed.
Now, you said that all believers basically commit mortal sins.
You, me...
No, I don't.
...go down the street...
No.
...all sin every day.
Not mortally.
Mortally? You know, this thing about these words that you guys have for trying to put new meaning to God's word is really strange.
And see, the reason you like to remove the distinction between mortal and venial
is because
it justifies then, like, say, "Oh, well, everyone sins. I can go out and commit mortal sin, and I'm saved anyway." It's exactly what the devil wants people to believe, and exactly what people convince themselves is true because it pleases them. It's fast food, quote, Christianity.
What did you say your first name was?
My name is Brother Peter.
Peter. Well, you know what? You really ruined my day today, by the way.
Well,
it only upset my stomach so I couldn't eat dinner. But then, you know, you gave me a little heartburn when I tried to eat a little bit. And here you are coming back at me 73 minutes later. We're still talking. You got a few minutes you wanted me to talk to you, which I was glad to talk to you, but, I mean, the whole day's gone now. And you still don't know that God's purpose for the earth was Israel's kingdom on earth.
Yeah, well, listen.
His purpose for heaven.
I might as well end this now because it's pointless to talk to you.
But read 1 Corinthians 14:37-8.
You're just a heretic, and you're definitely not a Christian.
Well, Christ died for your sins,